number two of that 590 show coming at you live right now on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the longtime NBA journalist. You can follow him on Twitter at PeterVesci1. Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm a regular now.
You are a regular. You are. You know what? You're a hot commodity now in St. Louis because I saw that you were on the In the Zone podcast with our friends Palmer Alexander and Arlington Lane.
Man, how many things you guys got going there? A lot of sports in St. Louis, huh?
Yeah, we got two sports teams and about five sports radio stations. So it's a very competitive market. What can we say?
They were good. You were good.
Oh, appreciate it very much. So it's a big compliment. The sports scene in St. Louis is a little more competitive than what these NBA finals have been, right?
Well, except for last night.
Last night actually was great.
It was as good as it's going to get, I believe.
Do you think that was Cleveland's best punch last night?
Well, I mean, the last game is going to be very, very difficult for the Warriors, but I believe they'll win it. But Cavaliers, you think LeBron wants to get swept? Oh my goodness! He's either gonna expend all his energy in the in the first half or so, and won't have anything left, or he'll get some help from his friends, and they'll take it to the limit. But I do believe it's a sweep.
Yeah, I think it is too. I think that what we saw last night, I think that was Cleveland's best punch, and they played a great 46 minutes. And then when it got to the last two, you could see they went 0-for-8. The last 3 minutes or so, and then Golden State was just like, "Yep, we knew this was going to happen." And then Kevin Durant right down the court, 3-ball right in front of LeBron's face, and it was good night, Irene. After that,
I don't know if the Warriors knew that was going to happen. I'm sure they were feeling the pressure there at the end. They definitely wanted to put them away in the third game, so did not have to go back to Oakland. But interesting. I mean, we've seen it many times at the end of a game like that. Kyrie and LeBron were sensational. But as you said, I didn't know they were 0-for-8, but I certainly was charting how many jump shots they were taking at the end versus going to the hoop, which were working. Could not stop Kyrie going to the hoop, but then he did miss an easy layup right underneath the basket, and then he took two jumpers. I counted the dribbles on one of them. I think he had 12 dribbles before he put up a jump shot. Now, at that time of the game, got to be smarter than that. You're doing all that dribbling. Your legs are already tired. Now you're going to take a jumper. I mean, it wasn't even close. It tipped the rim. And then LeBron taking that fall-away jump shot. What on earth was he thinking? Is that the shot you want for your team? Or do you want to go to the hoop and get fouled? As great as LeBron is, I've seen him do that a number of times in pivotal situations, critical situations. He just takes the wrong shot.
And he's been averaging a triple-double through these three games of the NBA Finals, but I think you're right. When you're looking at how much, what he's scoring in the first and second quarter as opposed to what he's scoring in the third and fourth, he really starts to fade. Is that fatigue? Is that the pressure of the moment? Why do you think that is, Peter?
Well, look, he is, like you said, he's triple-doubling, so he's doing it all. But again, you got to be smart at the end of a game. It's not fatigue. Fatigue certainly influences your judgment. There's no question. We've all been there for that, whether it's on a court or in some other situation. But LeBron's been around long enough to know that when the game is tight, you do not take a fall-away jump shot. That was turned into maybe an 18 footer or so by the time he let it go. You just expect more from him. He's as great as he is, and as great as he wants people to acknowledge he is. You just don't do that. I mean, you just got to be smarter than that. So I don't know. Did not rise to the moment.
And speaking of not rising to the moment, if you're LeBron James, how angry are you with Tristan Thompson? Because you really went to bat for him with the organization, and he gives you a goose egg in game one, a goose egg last night, and 8 points in game two. Do they need to start putting him on milk cartons, or what do they have to do to try to find Tristan Thompson in the series?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the anger part. Look, LeBron stuck up for the guy. They've got the same agent, so there's collusion there, you know. No question, Tristan is overpaid. He's a great offensive rebounder. But, you know, in a game like this against the Warriors, who move the ball so much, he's not a factor offensively, and they've got guys that can box him out. You know, guys his size that that can put bodies on him. So I don't know what, you know, what, where they go from here. Last year they dumped their, they stopped playing guys in the finals. And they got rid of them. The center, Mozgov. They got rid of the point guard, Delly. And, you know, so it'll be interesting to see what moves LeBron has up his sleeve for the offseason this time. I read that, you know, people have him going elsewhere after this season, which is... I don't know what to make of that. You know, is LeBron really going to leave Cleveland twice?
Well, I mean, I can't think of another team where he can go that's going to be any better than the roster that he really has in Cleveland. I mean, what's he name?
That's right.
Who else? Where else is he going to go?
I saw the two LA teams are mentioned because he has a house near Staples.
Yeah, that there's no way he's going to go to this Lakers team who's in the middle of a huge rebuild, right, and take on the Warriors. It's not going to happen.
Don't we all have houses near, you know, in L.A.? Near the Clippers certainly. He goes if he joined the bunch that's there, they would be a championship team. There's no question about that. But how do they do that? How do they sign their guys? How do they bring in a guy like LeBron? What is he going to play for chump change to go there? So I don't, you know, we've got free agency. Would they not re-sign Blake? And, you know, Paul is a free agent. I mean, you know, these things can be done. We all thought that the Warriors wouldn't have the capacity to bring in Durant, but they did it. But at this stage, they didn't give up anybody, really. Barnes, you know, was not really liked by management. And so it wasn't hard to give him up. And Bogut, please take him. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, Clippers would have to give up some really, really good players. You know, Redick's a free agent also. Okay, no big deal bringing him and, you know, no Redick, bring in LeBron, fine. But, again, I don't know where they get the money.
I don't know where they get it either. I just can't see LeBron suddenly becoming a mercenary like that, where he is just going to start chasing titles. I understand why he wants to do it. And I think another thing, too, if he does stay in Cleveland, and he was complaining about the roster at the very beginning of the year and talking about wanting to add more players, and that was met with resistance by owner Dan Gilbert because they're already in the luxury tax and the repeater tax. And sure, this is LeBron's legacy that he's talking about, but it's Dan Gilbert's money. Do you think that Dan Gilbert is going to want to continue to spend like this just for LeBron's legacy?
Well, it's his own legacy also. And, yeah, I do. I do think that he'll be willing to spend and do whatever it takes. Look, when you've got that kind of money, obviously, it's immaterial. You know, the money is monopoly money to these guys. So, I don't think Gilbert resisted bringing in new players. It was just figuring out how to bring in the right players. And you know, they switched Korver for Dunleavy, and you know, they brought in Darren Williams. You know, obviously not major moves that got them to where they wanted to go. So there's a lot of tactical stuff there. I also read online, you know, if they lose, they're going to trade Kevin Love. Really? And then what? Who are they going to get to replace Kevin Love?
Well, then they want to try to go after Paul George.
You know what? Everyone talks about George, two-way player. So what has he done?
Yeah. He was not part of that Pacers team that pushed the Miami Heat when LeBron was in South Beach. They pushed him in that Eastern Conference Finals, but that was more a product of Roy Hibbert for some reason only being good against the Miami Heat in the playoffs, and then, you know, a straw man every place else. I don't even think he's even in the NBA anymore. But I think that's more of it's not really Paul George was the reason why they were so good.
I mean, look, he was part of the team. I think David West was the most important part of that team. You know, you're seeing David West, the downscale David West, what he's capable of right now. He's always been one of my favorites, and he's become one of Steve Kerr's favorites. And he's, you know, really, yeah, he's just a great leader. And so, look, again, George, whether he goes to the Lakers, what is he going to do for them? He's going to get all the money and take them nowhere. And you know, replacing Love. He doesn't rebound like Love. He doesn't pass like him. So, you know, I don't see that happening at all.
Peter Vesci joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at PeterVesci1. Peter, it seems like I think this Golden State Warriors team is an all-time great team, especially if they complete the sweep tomorrow night and go 16-0 for the first time in the playoffs, for the first time in NBA history. But it seems like they're not getting a lot of respect for some of these older teams. You've already had people scoff at the idea of Vegas favoring them against the 95-96 Bulls team. You have Magic Johnson saying the Showtime Lakers would sweep them. You have Dr. J saying the 83-76ers would sweep them. Now you even have Rip Hamilton saying that the 2004 Detroit Pistons would beat this Golden State Warriors team. Why do you think no one respects them?
Well, first of all, I mean, I really don't like dealing in this kind of
hypothetical
speculation. You know, come on, talk is cheap. Anybody can say whatever they want to say. What proving what? There were numerous sensational teams over the years. You know, nobody even talks about Bill Russell's teams where he had every Hall of Famer from 1 through 8. Playing alongside Bill Russell, you know, how do you get better than them? How do you get better than Wilt's 67 team? You know, the Lakers, the 71 team that won 33 in a row, the 86 Celtics. You got some unbelievable teams. Nobody even mentions the two Knick champions. He's the Portland champion, you know, and while Walton was healthy, was really good. So, you know, it means nothing to me. I'm not even going to go there. Who's better? I give them respect. I certainly give the Warriors respect because you've got a great defensive team. You've got players. You've got offensive players that two of them can have. Two of your best four players can have off nights, and you can still win a championship game one. You know, against the Cleveland Cavaliers and beat them badly. You've got a team that passes, that just does everything it takes, everything you want, a coach wants a team to play like, they do that. And so why wouldn't they be in the conversation? It's 16-0, you know, that's obviously unprecedented, as you said. But you know, the comp isn't really there this year. The comp was not there. And previous years, you know, when those great teams, somebody pointed out yesterday to me that, you know, the championship in the East in the 80s was when the Philadelphia 76ers played Boston in the either in the semifinal or the final of the East. And then the winner had to go play the Lakers, you know.
Yeah.
And so they were already beat up, and by the time that they got to play the Lakers, so there was some great. The Bucks were really great back then. So there was a tremendous amount of competition in both conferences.
Do you think Golden State's domination is good for the NBA?
Well, it's not hurting ratings. It's not hurting ticket sales. Are pretty good. I can't afford to go to a game.
I mean, you can't just get in. You can't just show up at Madison Square Garden and go, hey, it's me. And they just go, oh, Mr. Vesci, right this way, sir. It's not like that?
Wait a minute. the Garden, if it's me, no, they, I'm like Oakley. They, how's the guy taken out? Oakley said to me last year, we were pretty tight. He said, why don't we go to a Knick game together? You know, I said, Charles, they don't like either one of us. What good is going to happen? And look what happened. He went alone and look what happened.
Yeah.
Had I been there, oh, my God.
I saw that he is not going to take their settlement or their agreement. He's taking it to court.
Well, he should. He should. I mean, they came in, you know, they started putting their hands. They put their hands on him first.
They did. And then who was it? Was it Knicks PR or was it James Dolan that sent out that press release? You know, basically kind of like saying that Charles Oakley has a drinking problem and let's hope he gets the help that he needs. It's like, who does
Dolan,
this?
Dolan said that.
Was that Dolan that said that? Yeah, I think you're right, because didn't he call one of the fans who said something bad about the Knicks? Didn't he say that that person had a drinking problem, too?
Well, this is from a guy who is an alcoholic. You know, he is an alcoholic, and he was an addict. So he might be able to recognize it. I don't know. He might have been at the same meeting. I don't know. But, yeah, he's got some nerve, but... That's James Dolan, and then, you know, I notice in our conversations we're not talking about any superstars wanting to play for the Knicks.
You're right, Peter. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. It's been great having you on, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
All right, you take care. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Peter. That is the great Peter Vesci, longtime NBA journalist. You can follow him on Twitter at PeterVesci1. Let's take a commercial break, and then Rocchio and I are going to break down the game last night in the NBA. Moving forward, you're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.